This is BPNRadio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hey, this is Dale Gentry welcoming you to another classic interview here on BPNRadio.com. For over 3 years, I've had many special guests here on BPNRadio.com. So during the following hour, we're going to replay one of those great interviews. Please remember that the following interview has been pre-recorded and may include some dated content. However, well, you're going to be blessed by another one of our special classic interviews here on BPNRadio.com. It's an honor to have with me today Laura Gallier, who is a seasoned speaker and author known for her insightful presentations and resources on the topic of sex-related values and romantic friendships and relationships. Based on a biblical foundation, she places special emphasis on exposing and overcoming the strategies of our unseen enemy, empowering students and adults to gain victory over self-defeating thoughts, emotions, and habits. Laura lives in the Houston, Texas area, speaks to audiences throughout America. She doesn't mince words, but is known for her grace-filled delivery. She's married, has a family, is devoted to helping others see the beauty in biblical instructions and realities. This includes God's plan for sexuality and family, as well as the daily challenges and thrills of living a life of faith. Laura also writes books, nonfiction and fiction, and has recently embarked on a movie-making journey. Laura, welcome to BPNRadio.com today.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you, and I've had you scheduled for quite a while. I know you're a very, very busy speaker in person. Today we're going to talk about teenage suicide, but first of all, I want us to tell, want you to tell our audience a little bit about yourself, how you got started, some of your journey.
Yeah, well, I had a broken teen experience in young adult years when it came to God's plan for sexuality. Was raised by a single mom and did not see my dad very much. So just a lot of dysfunction in the area of family and sexuality. And when the Lord got a hold of me after I had an unplanned pregnancy, a quick marriage, and even quicker divorce, just made an absolute mess of my life in my early 20s, the Lord met me there and revealed to me the profound yet simple truth that His commandments are for my protection and for everyone's protection, all of our protection. So as I started serving the Lord, I became very passionate about His message for sexual integrity and family. And in 2008, I authored some nonfiction resources for parents and teens along those lines and began speaking. And that's just so fulfilling. And throughout that journey around 2012, I thought I was going to write another nonfiction about the spiritual implications of sexuality. And then I realized, you know what? There's so much more to the spirit realm than just sexuality. I mean, there's demonic forces that it seems like the body of Christ, many members and many churches just honestly live naive of the reality of spiritual warfare and how the enemy gains ground in our life. So long story short, I ended up writing The Delusion, which is actually a fiction. The Lord put it on my heart to do a fiction about a young man in high school who begins to see the spiritual forces behind a suicide epidemic at his school. So it's been an incredible journey. We've seen young people literally choose life, choose not to kill themselves because they read the book and got a biblical revelation that God is for me, Satan is against me, and these are Satan's strategies, and I don't have to fall prey. So it's been an incredible journey.
Tell me, tell us why you picked teen suicide as the major theme of your book.
Yeah, you know, at the time, I got to be honest, I didn't realize that the numbers and statistics with teen suicide were going to continue to climb at an astronomical rate. I chose that because it so epitomizes believing the enemy's lies. It's so sad. Just this week, my husband attended a funeral for a coworker of his who took his own life. And, you know, it's too late now. We can't talk to him and find out what was going on in his world. But we know no matter the circumstances, whether we're talking about a teen or adult, who commit suicide, we know at some point there's an absolute hopelessness. There's a sense that all is lost, and we know that those come in the form of thoughts. And I'm fully convinced, and I believe that the Bible supports, that the root of those evil thoughts is demonic in nature. It's evil, and we want to take a stand against that.
Yeah, why are teenagers killing themselves today? What's happening?
Well, you know, it's hard to just have a quick answer to that. I believe it's what you might call the perfect storm, which is just the breakdown of the family has taken an incredible toll. Approximately 6 out of 10 children born in the United States are now born to a single mom. So that is not in the picture. I know from experience, blended families bring their own challenges. And really, the technology and plugged-in world, we consider ourselves connected, but we've actually never been more disconnected in terms of just bonding and family time and quality time. And young people get extremely lonely. And then there's, of course, just the pressure now. You can actually post a picture and you can count how many people like it. Mm-hmm. So there's so much pressure to fit in and to literally put a number on your value based on likes and followers. So again, just the perfect storm. And then when you combine with that we have an enemy who goes about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, mm-hmm. then he preys on these vulnerable students with these fiery darts at their minds and thoughts and emotions. And all that works together to bring about devastation.
Do you have any statistics concerning teen suicide?
Well, I can tell you that the number of children and teens admitted to hospitals for thoughts of suicide or self-harm is more than doubled in the last decade. It hasn't helped that it's been glamorized with certain TV shows and things. It's in our music, and I say the music that young people are listening to has constant themes of death. And we're just seeing it take a toll, and especially with the cutting, it's just more and more stories of that, just especially friends of my daughters. I have two teenagers, so we're immersed in that world, and yeah, it's increasing.
Well, I concur, and I know it's not just outside the church, it's also inside the church. I was ministering several years ago in Los Angeles, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me to give an invitation for everyone that had tried to commit suicide and wanted deliverance. And over 60 people came forward that Sunday. I was somewhat shocked. So, and many of those, of course, were young people. So what are some of the signs that parents can look for concerning, their young people, possibly, their sons and daughters, possibly, contemplating suicide? Mm-hmm. What are some of the things they can look for?
Well, certainly, you know, this is where it gets tricky, because you can have suicidal young people who will withdraw, who will become disenchanted and wanting to talk and communicate and bond and open up and just really become withdrawn. But the unfortunate fact is, in a lot of situations, there aren't tons of outward signs. The young person seems to be doing okay, you know, keeping up with school demands, keeping up with extracurricular. And what happens is the parent just isn't aware of what's going on under the surface, and that really there's sort of a mask of feeling content. I know some young people with social media will start to say things online, but there's parents that don't monitor that or don't keep up with that, but they will make statements that you can tell are coming from a place of desperation. But unfortunately, there aren't always crystal clear signs.
I believe that I believe that you're right on target, right on time, because we know the focus with the shooting in Florida has really brought all of us an awareness of what's happening among young people today. And I understand you've co-authored a Bible study to coincide with your Delusion book, Delusion for Freedom. And tell us about that, how people can get your book, this series. And, Laura, I want you to just talk about that, your vision, and just talk to our audience about what's in your heart, how we can help you, what's going on, and just however the Holy Spirit directs you. I just give the microphone to you. You go for it.
Thank you so much. Yes, The Delusion, again, is a fiction book. It definitely has truth and it has a redemptive theme. It's a very thrilling read, which has been exciting to get all the feedback that believers and non-believers have a very hard time putting it down. Even teenagers that don't like to read are reading it in a matter of days. So that's so exciting that we can take a gospel message and package it in the form of entertainment. But we realize there's a need to go beyond the fictional storyline and really explain the biblical truths that are woven into the story. And so Rachel Donahoe and I co-authored a resource called For Freedom, and it can be used as a 4-week or a 12-week study. You just have to see how it's laid out. But it does a fantastic job laying a foundation of understanding what spiritual warfare is, what it isn't, how to walk in victory over self-sabotaging thoughts and habits and addictions and coping. And when we put our faith and trust in circumstances or people or situations that are not God, but they become a God to us, how the end result and fallout can be depression and disappointment. And I think it's important to mention that as a common treatment approach to depression that we see is first and foremost the physical is taken into account. Hormones, neurotransmitter, this sort of things are chemicals. And then perhaps there's the mental side, and maybe, just maybe, the spiritual will be addressed. And sometimes it's addressed in a very New Age way. It's not even biblical. Mm-hmm. So we advocate just flipping that paradigm upside down. We are spirit, we are soul, which is mind, will, and emotions, and we are body. We are all three, and we need to take all three into account. But we advocate that we start with spirit. Start with the spiritual realities that we are loved, that we are made in God's image. Nothing gets me more fired up than thinking about the fact that all across our nation, in our classrooms, we are teaching children that it is a fact that they are a cosmic coincidence, that all of creation is a cosmic coincidence, and that there's no creator, and that to believe so is unintellectual. That is so offensive and honestly unintelligent, in my opinion. I think there's just an overwhelming amount of evidence that we do have an intentional creator. And so when young people grasp the vision that, no, I have a purpose, even if my parents didn't plan me, you know, even if I've made huge mistakes, I have a loving God who's in sovereign control of my life, and getting a hold of biblical promises that we can stand on. And then, of course, that immediately, that joy and hope permeates the soul. It permeates the mind, will, and emotions. And it's a proven fact that healthy, positive thoughts have a healthy, positive impact on our physical body and on our chemicals. So is there a time in situations when we need, you know, prescriptions to balance things out physically? Absolutely. And I certainly wouldn't condemn that path. I'm just saying there's just a much more effective approach when we start with the spirit, we minister to the soul, and then we watch how it impacts the body. You asked me what the vision is of this book and this project. First of all, The Delusion is the first book in a series. Tyndale House is the publisher. They've been incredible to work with. And they have optioned books 2 and 3. So those are under contract. So we're working hard on those. And I envision doing 5 total. But the books can be bought at all. The book, Delusion, is the only one that's out right now, can be bought at major store outlets. Of course, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, what have you. The Bible Study for Freedom can be ordered off of Amazon. And the vision, as I was saying, is just that this book would not only encourage and strengthen Christians' walk with God, but that unbelievers would get a hold of this book. It is written for unbelievers. The protagonist, the main character, is a senior in high school who has zero faith in God. He is a self-proclaiming atheist. Mm-hmm. And so that is our goal and prayer. And we've seen it happen. We've seen the response. And so we are just believing God for exponential sales and reach and scope, and that it gets in schools and in prisons and libraries and book clubs, and just really infiltrate our culture with a message of hope, like I said, in a package of entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's a great vision. I share that vision with you.
Thank you.
Where do you speak at, Laura?
You know, I often speak at churches. That's primarily people who invite me, but I've done all sorts of things. I've done pregnancy help centers. I speak in schools, especially when there's an opportunity through, for example, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where it can be a faith-based program. I've done a suicide awareness community meeting recently. So really, I just try to be flexible. Whatever doors open, that is where I go.
Very good. How can people contact you? How can they reach you?
Yeah, I have a website, lauragallier.com, and it has all my information in a contact form. And then for more information on the book, and of course there's a link on lauragallier.com, there's also a website, delusiontheory.com. So those are the two websites that would be super informative about me and about this project.
Well, I want to encourage everybody to get your book, Delusion. And how did you come up with the title?
You know, I thought I was being creative and that it would speak to the fact that the protagonist, when he begins to see into the spirit realm, he thinks he's delusional. So he's trying to find a cure, and it takes a while for him to even give himself to, okay, this is true, this is really happening. So the word, the delusion, fit, you know, is this a delusion or not? But then I was reading 2 Thessalonians, and I saw where the scripture says that there will be lawlessness at work in the earth, and then it describes the man of lawlessness, what we associate as the Antichrist, who will come into power. And it says, for those who do not love the Lord, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but for those who refuse Christ's love, there will be a strong delusion. He uses the word delusion. Mm-hmm. And many will believe the lie. And so I have come to believe with every fiber of my being that this project, The Delusion, is really like a precursor and a warning to know the truth. And I will tell you, book two in the series is called The Legend. And really the same thing is exposing, recognizing the counterfeit paranormal that's actually rooted in evil and demonic versus the genuine paranormal move of God and the spirit of God. So the reason that's so important is because that same passage in 2 Thessalonians explains that many will be deceived by false miracles and signs. Mm-hmm. So The Delusion is really a series to prepare this generation to recognize Jesus from the counterfeit, miracles that are of God versus just, again, demonic activity. And we see so much of this in our TV shows. There's just paranormal is the theme, you know, and a lot of these shows that are going on, and it's become, you know, contacting the dead has become trendy. They're reality shows about contacting loved ones, and it seems so innocent. It really does. It seems beautiful even, but we know the Lord has strong instructions about not consulting the dead. So that's just one example. And that was a loaded question you asked there, because to summarize, I believe there is a prophetic, even I would use that word, call on this series that has a warning and a message that is for this season, for this generation.
Wow. Well, I'm certainly connecting with what you're doing, because I believe that there's definitely a strategy from hell to destroy the youth of our nation, particularly the young people.
Absolutely.
In all of my ministry, I've always had this this passion for young people. From the very first church that I led, I had young people to come to the church, and we would pray before they went to school, because I realized over the years that particularly teenagers are a major target of Satan. If he can mess up their life, ruin their life during that season of their journey, it can be pretty devastating. Let me ask you, why so many teenagers are leaving the church? Why aren't so many Christian teenagers leaving the church? What's happening?
Another loaded question there. Man, I love the local church. I've spent most of my adult life working at various churches, and we're all doing the best we can as Christians, as pastors.
Sure.
We're doing the best we can. So the last thing I want to do is, you know, kick the bride, so to speak.
Right.
If I had to answer honestly, and just frankly, and what I believe from just praying and seeking the heart of God, I believe that there is a huge void of intimacy, okay? And what I mean by that is we were created to enjoy a sincere, meaningful, intimate relationship with God that then translates to having these meaningful relationships with one another. And I think, and again, this is not pointing a judgmental finger, but I think a lot of times in the process of church and the structure of it all, at times just the intimacy gets lost, and there can be a real lack of authenticity. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I speak at churches all across the nation, and every once in a while, I come to a church where the pastor is so vulnerable. Well, he will share about his own struggle that he had with pornography, or how pornography affected his son. Mm-hmm. And there's just this spirit, honestly, of authenticity. And I know for me, one of the most important things I do is I share my story of brokenness, not to glorify what the enemy did in my life, but as a statement of humility, and just to invite other people to come with their brokenness. So I said all that to say that I have seen churches that are thriving. The Collective Church in Portland, Oregon is a great example. They have a sanctuary full of young people passionately worshiping, young families and singles who mm-hmm. are in their 20s. Mm-hmm. And they're there because there's just such a sincere time of worship and ministry and authenticity. And there's not this huge emphasis to grow and be big. It's really about ministering to the people.
Yeah.
So the best I could answer your question is that the more we get back to a place of authenticity, creating opportunities for intimacy with God and meaningful relationships with each other, teaching people to hear from God, when the young adults get a hold of that, those who want more of God, you can't keep them away. But the games, the gimmicks, the driving theme to grow the church as fast as we can, as big as we can, that just does not resonate with young people. They pick up on it.
I agree. So what would you say to youth pastors that may be listening to this program today?
You know, I would say that anything a youth pastor can do to, A, teach young people how to pray. And when I say pray, I don't mean just the wordy side of it. I'm talking about how to encounter the presence of God, how to hear from the Lord. The Holy Spirit will speak. That's my biggest parenting advice, is if you can lead your kids into hearing from the Lord, it's amazing, because they'll have a problem, you pray with them, they go hear from God, get some incredible counsel, and your job is easy.
Mm-hmm.
So teaching young people to seek God's face in a way that defies just tradition and religiosity, but truly experiencing God. And then anything you can do to equip mom and dad to practice faith at home. As a former youth pastor alongside my husband, I can testify that the most rebellious kids are the ones who are in church every Sunday. They're there. Mom and dad are coming, but they're not incorporating things at home. It's amazing how many Christians that truly love God, again, I'm not here to beat up anybody, mm-hmm. they have a love for the Lord, but they don't even feel comfortable a husband taking his wife's hand and praying out loud. Mm-hmm. You know, this is your whole platform. You're so passionate mm-hmm. about prayer. We have to experience God in this hour and the working of the Spirit, not in a crazy way where it feels chaotic, but acknowledging the active presence of the Holy Spirit. Because when young people experience God and it goes from head knowledge to heart knowledge, it is life changing. And then they take ownership of their faith. And then last but not least, I have to say this, is just not ministering these shallow lessons. We want to be that buzzword relevant. We want to talk about peer pressure and all these things, but go deeper, dig into the meat of the word, help them understand Jesus Christ is a great high priest. I mean, that sounds boring. When it's taught with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit out of Hebrews, it's incredible. There's just deeper revelations teaching about spiritual warfare. Do mm-hmm. they know how to recognize a thought that is from Satan? Do they know? Do they even understand? Do they have a filter? And do they know what to do when they feel that? You know, I know I'm going on and on.
Well, that's good.
But those are just off the top of my head and out of my heart, those are some tips that come to mind.
Very good. Well, it's an honor to have you on with us today. Laura Gallier is my special guest here on BPNRadio.com. We're talking about delusion, talking about teenage suicide, what's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be praying in just a few moments, because we made a commitment on BPNRadio.com from the start that we will not talk about anything that we don't pray about. So I'm going to have Laura to be praying in just a few moments. And I would like you to address anything else, because there may be people saying, well, you know, I'm not a teenager, I don't have any teenage kids, that may not You know, that may not involve me, but there may be some other things that on your heart you'd like to share with our audience. I have one more question before we move on to that for maybe for two or three more minutes. But I've been reading statistics about the escalating rate of suicides among young ladies, and that's a little bit shocking to me. I would think that the greatest challenge would be young men, but it's young ladies. What is happening with these teenage girls that there's such an escalating rate of suicide among teenage girls? Why, Laura?
Well, again, I don't think you can just give one simple answer, but I think you can look at our society as a whole and say that the more we have a sexualized culture, I can speak from experience. I became sexually active in the eighth grade, very young, and I thought I was going to find love. Didn't have a father in the home and desired that so much, that affirmation from a male masculine source, but it only left me more broken. We have young ladies who, it's a very common thing to put nude pictures of themselves and text them out and have them go around. There's major bullying, and whereas you and I back in the day, mm-hmm. before technology, maybe we'd have someone who was really ugly to us at lunch or in a certain class period, but now because of the connectedness online, girls who are being hateful can be hateful around the clock, and it's just hitting their phone. And then again, you add the brokenness of the family, mothers and daughters that perhaps have very shallow relationships that just consist of, hey, you know, your drill team uniform is dry clean. Did you do your homework? Just shallow. As opposed to the, you know, praying with our daughters and talking about their emotional issues and really getting in their world, all these things combine on that foundation of not discerning their value in Christ, not knowing it, and not recognizing that the enemy is so cruel that he sees their worth and their potential and the love of God on them, and he just wants to steal that. They don't see themselves that way, and they're drowning in comparison. Mm-hmm. And their role models are not good. So again, mm-hmm. I know I'm going on and on, but there's quite a lot working against today's young girl.
That's very, very good. Very insightful. And we're very grateful. And just I'm going to take a station break here for those listening to bpnradio.com. And then I'd like for you to conclude with any thoughts that you may have, whatever the power of the Holy Spirit leads you, concerning our audience in general. So I'll be right back.
Absolutely.
This is bpnradio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. A member of the Breakout Prayer Network. Let's pray, America.
Hi, this is Ian Kieber, reminding you to join us for Marketplace Saturdays. Marketplace Saturdays is full of information, motivation, inspiration, and business tips that will help you grow in whatever field you come from. Now, whether you're a small business owner or an employee looking to grow and learn more, Marketplace Saturday is for you. Join Rick Gentry, the host of Marketplace Saturdays, from 8 a.m. to midnight Central Standard Time, where you can learn from the best. Marketplace Saturdays, where leaders go to grow.
That's good to have you listening here on bpnradio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station here on this Wednesday. And don't forget tomorrow's Prophetic Thursday. And Allison Kieber is going to be hosting a Prophetic Thursday. And if you would like to have a prophetic prayer, all you have to do is go to Dale Gentry or Dale W. Gentry Facebook page. Leave your name, city, and state. And, wow, we've been having tremendous responses on Tuesday and Thursday as we pray for people who would like to have a prophetic prayer word from the Lord, knowing that one word from God can change your life forever. Well, it's good to have today on with me my special guest, Laura Gallier, and who's a seasoned speaker and author known for her insightful presentations and resources on the topic of sex-related values and romantic relationships. And she has a book out called Delusion, also a new study series on the delusion. Also, you said you are in the process of making a movie or planning a movie?
Yes, that's been the vision from the beginning, and I'm going to be completely honest, because what else should we be? We have been met with constant resistance, which you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy does not want spiritual warfare exposed on the big screen, but we
right.
have a team of women that have been praying for years, literally, and uniting in prayer. And it all goes back to a dream I had way back as a young girl. The Lord gave me a dream of defeating Satan on a movie set.
Mm-hmm.
And so to watch it come full circle and understand what he's trying to do. So we're just persevering in faith and just trusting God that that's going to come to fruition.
Well, I will keep us posted on that, because I believe I believe you're on the right track.
Yes,
before you pray, Laura, anything that you would just like to address that's on your heart to our listening audience in general today concerning spiritual warfare, delusion, whatever it may be happening, that you could just speak out of your heart to those that are listening today? Because I believe there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on, a lot of people going through battles maybe they've not faced in a long time or never, and so many people carrying strongholds in their lives. What would you say to us today?
Yeah, I would just say that Satan does not play fair. He is absolutely cruel, and he uses our shame against us. And so just a little mini sermonette to keep it brief. We know from the Genesis account of creation and the fall that the natural result of sin is shame. It's the instant and natural result. But we cannot live with shame. We as human beings, it just crushes the soul. And that can be the shame of sins we've committed or sins against us.
Mm-hmm.
So like this unwarranted shame
mm-hmm.
that we're carrying. And we tend to either justify our actions to try to just cope with that shame and say, oh, what I did, it wasn't even wrong. The Bible talks about a seared conscience when you go that path, and it's a dangerous path. Or we punish ourselves. That's where you get cutting and eating disorders and suicide and self-hatred. It's just we start to hate ourselves because of the shame. But what's on my heart today is just to say that Jesus bore our shame on the cross. And whether we were the victim or the perpetrator of something vile and sinful and hurtful, he really can take that and take our shame and give us forgiveness and purity of the soul. I have a past that is anything but clean, and yet God has cleaned me and given me his righteousness, and I don't know what that shame anymore. And I just would love for everyone listening to experience that. And it's not hard. It's really just humbling ourselves, confessing, admitting where we've sinned or where others have sinned against us, forgiving ourselves and forgiving others in the name of Christ, and believing that he died for our sins. It's an incredible message that the world desperately needs right now.
Yes, I concur. Yeah. I agree. I'm going to, before you go, Laura, I'm going to ask you to pray, if you will, however the Holy Spirit leads you.
I would be honored to do that, Dale. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Lord, I thank you that you are such a good and loving God. Lord, even yesterday I was reading in Deuteronomy 7 where you said, if we will obey you, this is Old Testament, you said, if we'll obey you, you will lavish your love on us. You will bless us, God. You love us so much. You loved us enough to give us commandments and instructions, Jesus' teachings, and we're told that there are certain things we're to do and certain things we're not to do, and it's all because you love us and want to protect us. Father, I lift up everyone listening now. We come against any spirit of depression or heaviness or suicide, Satan's attempt to lie and steal our hope and value. And I pray, God, that we would come to you in our shame and our hurt and our woundedness. Jesus, you heal the brokenhearted. And it doesn't always happen overnight, but little by little, you are faithful to renew our minds and renew our hearts. And I pray that you give us hope. I pray for parents, that we have discernment, that we connect with our children on a spiritual level, not just the natural, but the spiritual, that we sow the word of God into them, that we get past the insecurity of praying out loud or ministering or think we have to have gone to seminary to minister to our kids. It's just not true. And Father, I pray for marriages, that they would be healed and made whole by keeping their eyes on you, Jesus. We just thank you so much for this program and for the call to prayer, Lord, that we will commit, not in just like a dutiful way, but because we love you and there's fullness of joy in your presence. We need more of you. We need to experience you. We need to hear your still small voice in our spirit, God. We need to be led by the Spirit. God, there's just such joy in that place, and that's where the joy of living comes and our fulfilled purpose. So thank you that you're moving all across this nation, that you're protecting our students, you're healing our homes, and yes. you are causing the gospel to go forth, Lord. Yes. Your people are turning from our wicked ways. We're seeking your face, Lord, serving you with our whole heart. Thank you so much, God.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name,
yes,
amen.
Lord. I say amen and amen. I set myself in agreement with you, Laura. Tell our listening audience one more time how they can get in touch with you.
Thank you so much. Yes, my website is Laura Gallier, GALLIER.com, and all my information is there.
Laura, thank you for being on with us today. We look forward to being on with us again. And I want to remind our listening audience, this program will be replayed again at 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 10 o'clock here on bpnradio.com. God bless you, Laura.
Thank you so much, Dale.
Thank you. God bless you.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing. Bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. But right now, oh right now, I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. What will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? I know you're able and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing a little faith is all I have right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing.
I know you're able. I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow. I know the hurt. Would all go away if you just see the world? It is well, it is well with my soul.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry. Thank you.
I will